Turner as our guest speaker. I've known Larry from Rotary primarily and wanted to have him come share, but Larry is the pastor of Christian Love Baptist Church in Alexandria, where he has served since 1995, and he has seen that church grow from a small congregation of about 28 people to several hundred in attendance and in membership. He's a graduate of Booker T. Washington High School in Shreveport, accepted his call to the ministry in 1987, and was later ordained as a minister on November 11th, 1993. In order to better serve the people of God, he decided to continue his education, enrolling and graduating from Louisiana Baptist University in Shreveport. And I thought it was interesting that during his tenure there at LBU, he was the winner of the 2001 LBU Preach-Off Award. And so we know he's going to preach off today and do a good job for us. He is dedicated to his church and his community, continually works with government officials to better the city of Alexandria and our surrounding area. He's married to his wife, Carolyn, and they have four children. And how many grandchildren now?
11 and a half.
11 and a half. A busy man. Please welcome Larry Turner.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. I want to say thank you, first all of the honor, all of the praise, all of the glory, all of the thanksgiving be unto the Almighty and to the living God, to Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior, and to the power, the indwelling, and the presence of God's Holy Spirit, to the pastor of this church. Let's give him a hand. Thank you so much. To our honorable mayor, certainly, in his cabinet, and to all the city officials, to all of our, to my Rotary chairman, certainly, Pastor Mr. Joyner, and we certainly want to. Won't you give him a hand? He's a Rotary chairman. If I don't do a good job, he'll throw some tomatoes at me. Thank you all for being here. Thank you so much for allowing me. I'm truly humbled to be in your presence. This is the fulfillment for me of a prophecy that was given to me some years ago, probably over 20 years ago, that the Lord told me that I would stand before great men. And certainly that didn't mean just one gender, but he told me that I would stand before great men. And so now I get a chance to see that. I want to tell you that I'm going to ask for you to pray for my wife, Carolyn. She's taking chemo, and we've been married 27 years. And certainly, I asked your prayers. I believe that you can also get a prayer through for her. We drive back and forth to Lafayette sometime week to week for her treatments. So we're going to ask that you do that. We have four children, 11 and a half grandchildren. We have another one coming in April. So that will be 12, and so we will then have the 12 tribes of Israel. And we thank God for that. I've been asked to bring a word just for a minute. Nathan and I, of course, we're brothers. Now, you figure that out. You figure that one out. But we thank God. Nathan is probably one of my best friends, and I thank God for that man in my life. I appreciate everything. I asked the Lord, what would he have me to say as I stand between him and his people? Every time a preacher stands, he's standing between God and his people. He's standing between the living and the dead. We must never take that lightly. I've been at Christian Love Baptist Church for 25 years, and here's what I do in the evening times now after I preach on Sunday. I ride and I look up at the marquee, and if my name is still on it, I go back the next Sunday. When they take my name off it, then I'll just keep going. I've asked him, what would he have me to say to you this morning? This afternoon. It is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 1, and verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. The grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. You've heard the story of Jesus, I'm almost sure. You'll hear in this, we call this liturgical preaching. Well, you'll be able to walk out of First Baptist and walk into Christian Love and hear the same thing. In seminary, that's what they call it, liturgical. And then there's expository. Of course, you take scripture to scripture. And then there's biographical, where we take a person and we talk about that person. But this is liturgical. And in this time, we're talking about Jesus. Who else would we talk about? Who else is there to talk about but Jesus? And this Bible talks about Jesus. With the times that we live in, with social media and information at a lightning fast speed and information everywhere, with things going on in our communities and in our personal lives and in our political system, it is certainly now that we talk about Jesus. It is a need. It is necessary that we talk about him. There's certainly one thing that cannot be denied, and that one thing that cannot be denied is the fact that he came. There is no question about that. I haven't heard many arguments about or to the fact that he didn't come. I've heard the fact that he, some things that he was not raised from the dead yet, but I have not heard many times that he has not come. So they can't deny that. But I want to talk about he came. Why did Jesus come? Why did he come? Well, when you go back to that time, some of the things that was happening then are happening now. You see, from the thousands of years ago up until now, the people have changed, the faces have changed, but the people have remained the same needs, the same things, the same feelings, the same beliefs and non-beliefs that was happening then is happening now. And in that time, of course, the political system was in a wreck. The people was in a, their spiritual lives was in a shambles. And there were many things that was going on back in that time. And Jesus comes. After some 400 years, now he comes. Jesus did not come to set the political system straight. I noticed that he did not come to change the political system. He did not come to change it around. He did not come to rewrite the Constitution. Jesus came for these three reasons. One reason that Jesus came is to seek the lost. You see, man's spiritual condition was in trouble. Jesus came to seek that which was lost. In other words, man's man's spiritual belief was off course. Let me put it like this. Man's spiritual GPS was off. And God wanted to come along. God sent Jesus to set man's spiritual GPS back in order. They were lost. They were off track. They were going one way when they should have been going another way. There is a scripture in Proverbs that says, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction." Jesus came to seek those which was lost, those people that were spiritually lost. Sometimes we are like that in our in our society. Sometimes we can get spiritually lost. In other words, we can sometimes be doing one thing when God would have us to be doing something else. Sometimes we can get so busy and set in our own ways until we start to think that we are right and nobody else can be right. God says, if there's a such thing as right, I'm the only one that's right. And so Jesus came to seek that which was lost. Secondly of all, he came to save those who were sinking in self-righteousness. They were, back then, they had gotten so self-righteous. There were those who had gotten so righteous in themselves until they were sinking. They had gotten to a point where they thought that only they were righteous. And God sent Jesus because they were sinking to bring them up out of their self-righteousness, out of their selfishness, and out of their insensitivity to mankind. I think that we can relate some way to that, because sometimes we have gotten so selfish. Sometimes we have gotten insensitive. God wants to make sure that we don't get so tied up in our self-righteousness. You know what I'm talking about. Me, myself, and I. There's nothing wrong with the me, myself, and I relationship if it pertains to God. David fixed us where we could have a me, myself, and I relationship with God in the 23rd Psalms. Y'all remember it? Some of you know it, don't you? The Lord is he make it to lie down. He make it me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth beside the still waters. He restoreth. You just about to get it. You see, there's nothing wrong with me, myself, and I if you have the right me, myself, and I. David set us right. But the people then, just as some of us now, were sinking in self-righteousness, insensitivity. You know, there's no reason for hunger in the world. There's no reason. The earth still yields the same amount or more fruit and food that it did thousands of years ago. But yet, we have hunger because of man's insensitivity, of man's inhumanity to man. And so they were sinking. And Jesus came along and saved them. Save them from self-righteousness. First of all, why did Jesus come? Jesus came to seek those which was lost. Secondly of all, he came to save those who were sinking in self-righteousness. But thirdly of all, Jesus came to salvage those whose lives had been torn apart by sin. Sin tears us apart. Sin tears families. It separates families. It separates us from God. Every time I go down I-49, I look over there to the right and I see that junkyard. I don't know if you've seen it before, but you look over there and the first thing I think about is junk. But guess what? The guy that owns it, that's his treasure. You see, some man's junk is another man's treasure. When sin tears our lives and separates us, sin, be not deceived, my brothers and my sisters. The reason why there's so much hatred, there's so much separation, is because of that guilty culprit called sin. Sin is behind it all. Sin tears us apart. Sin causes us to hate each other. Sin causes us to see color. Sin is the one that has us so angry. Sin causes murder. Sin takes a mother away from a daughter or a son away from the father. Sin separates us sometimes in church. Sin separates us in our family. And so Jesus, after we are torn into so many parts, Jesus comes along and he takes those dark, torn apart, and he puts our lives back together again. Be not deceived. Only Jesus can put a life back together. Only Jesus can put a marriage back together. Only Jesus can turn a man around or a woman around. Only Jesus can take a person's heart. Brothers and sisters, I stand here today to tell you that God still holds the mind and heart of man in his hands. He does. He can turn it around. He can soften it, or he can harden it in Pharaoh's case. But God is the one that is in control. He can take every single part and put it back together again. The government can't put our lives back together again. Of course, they can do certain things. Money can't do it. No matter how much money that you have, if we have a sin problem, we are in trouble. And only Jesus can fix that. There are some things that money can fix. There are some things that money can buy. But money cannot turn sin around. Only the Lord can do that. And so God sent Jesus so that he may seek those which was lost, so that he might be able, that he might save those that was sinking in self-righteousness and to salvage. I don't know about you, my brothers and my sisters. I don't know about you, my friend, but I'm so glad that Jesus hangs around in the salvage yard. You see, my life was torn up. My life was torn apart. You're looking at a man that his life was torn apart. I don't know about you. Maybe you've been on Easy Street and got it made Boulevard all of your lives. But at some point, sin will enter your life. And you know what? Jesus hung around in the salvage yard, and he put this man back together again. And if Jesus can put me back together again, and if Jesus can put a family back together again, surely he can do it for you. I know that sometimes we depend on our money. We depend on our status. We depend on our intelligence, our intellect. But only Jesus can put a life back together again. Maybe you are here today. Maybe you needed to hear this. But I wanted to tell you, that is why Jesus came. Thank you so much. May God bless you and may God keep you.